Blog Talk Radio.
Cover every listening ear on this radio broadcast, whether they're listening live now, listening on another device, whether they're listening at a later date, oh God. Cover them, and not just them, Lord. Cover this broadcast, Lord. We thank you for covering it under the blood. In the name of Jesus. You are tuned in to Time to Talk About It, where I'm your host, Sister Diane. And this broadcast was founded by the late Apostle Gloria Cheever Porter. And remember that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, we start this broadcast off with prayer. So come on, go ahead, gather your prayer lists. Let us touch and agree, for we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, giving you honor, glory, and praise, Lord Father, thanking you, O God, for this day, Lord Father, a day that wasn't promised to us, O God. We thank you, Lord Father, for being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. We say thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord. Forgiveness of all sins, including those that we're praying for, Lord, in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us, Lord. Father, we thank you, O God, for this day, Lord. Father, that you're able, Lord, to use us, Lord, Father. Father, to bring a light in someone's darkness, Lord, Father. Father, give us the ears, O God, to hear, Lord, Father, when you ask us to do something, Lord. And Father, let us be mindful, Lord, Father, in going about your business, Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, as I lay my hand upon this prayer list, and you see all the other prayer lists, Lord, Father, raised before you, Lord. Father, as we touch and agree with them, Lord, Father, you know each and every person name by name, Lord, and what they're in need of. Father, some ask for themselves, Lord, Father, some ask for others, Lord. Father, we thanking you for your will being done. We thank you, O God, for the prayers. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. We thank you, O God, for the prayers that you have already answered. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy, Lord. We thank you, O God, for the prayers that you're answering, Lord, Father, as we pray, and the prayer that you have already answered. Father, I thank you. I glorify and magnify you, Lord. I thank you for your supernatural strength this day, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Sister Elizabeth, Lord Father. And we plead the blood of Jesus over her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. We thank you, O God, for your healing virtue, Lord Father, flowing through and through her, Lord Father. We thank you for, Lord Father, your strength, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for all that you have done, doing, and about to do for her right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Tanya and Tiana right now, Lord Father. And Father, as we hold them before you this day, O God, we thank you, Lord Father, for the spirit of reconciliation, Lord Father, within their lives right now, Lord Father. Father, you know what they're in need of, Lord Father. And we know, Lord Father, that your will be done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you, Lord, Kathy, Lord. Father, as she go through surgery today, Lord Father, to remove a tumor, Lord Father. Father, we know, O God, that you're bigger than cancer, Lord. And Father, we're thanking you this day, Lord, for your blood covering, Lord. Father, we ask that you guide the doctor's hands, Lord Father, each and every one that's in attendance, Lord Father, during that procedure right now, Lord Father. See the blood covering this day in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Ida, Lord Father, that is in the hospital right now, Lord Father. Father, we covering her under the blood, Lord, from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet. See the blood covering, Lord Father. Father, you know what needs to be done, Lord Father, and what's being done, Lord Father. And we ask you right now, oh God, to intervene on her behalf right now, Lord Father. Touch her children right now, Lord Father. Give them strength in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Ruthie, Lord Father. And Father, we ask you, oh God, to touch her body as well, Lord. Father, she needs your healing touch, Lord. And Father, we thank you that it's done in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord Father, for looking upon all those other prayer lists right now, Lord Father, that is raised before you, Lord. Father, they took the time, oh God, to ask for prayer, Lord Father. Trust in, Lord Father, as we touch and agree with them, Lord. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for those that need healing in this time, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for your healing, Lord. Father, whether it be natural or spiritual, Lord Father, we thank you, Lord Father. Father, we thank you for those that are looking for a job right now, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for the perfect work, Lord Father, with perfect pay right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we are speaking right now, Lord Father, to all our unsaved loved ones, Lord Father. Father, that they may not die and go to a Christless grave, Lord Father, but we are holding them before you, Lord Father, praying, Lord Father, intervening on their behalf, O God. Father, that they may repent, Lord Father, seek your face, O God, and accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord. Father, we continue to pray for those, Lord Father, that was devastated, Lord Father, by Hurricane Ian, Lord Father. Those, Lord Father, homes that are still underwater, Lord Father. Those that need a place to stay, oh God. Father, we thank you for those that have opened up their doors, Lord Father, to help someone, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for just keeping them, Lord Father, in their right minds. Father, we praying right now, oh God, even for the young children, Lord Father. Father, that you give them peace, Lord Father. And Father, that they have no recollection, Lord Father, of this devastation in their young lives, Lord Father. Father, they don't lose no sleep and have bad dreams, Lord. We cover that under the, in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. We thank you, glorify and magnify you, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for being a God of many chances, Lord Father. So, Father, we thank you for hearing, Lord Father, our prayer, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, Lord Father, for every listening ear, Lord Father, that continue, Lord Father, to listen, Lord Father, to your word right now, Lord. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord, over the speaker of the hour, Elder Pastor Carl Boland, Lord Father. And Father, I thank you and glorify you, Lord, for refreshing, refilling, and rejuvenating him right now, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for using him in this hour, Lord. We thank you for the ears to hear and the heart to receive the word as it comes forth, Lord. Father, to see that hedge of protection round about him, Lord, Father. We just thank you, Lord, Father, for his faithfulness, oh God. Father, we ask you this day, Lord Father, to touch the nations right now, Lord Father, that continue to listen to this broadcast, Lord Father. Touch the people in those nations, Lord. You know what they're in need of, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and I glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We ought to give God praise. We ought to thank him for waking us up this morning, clothed in our right mind. Amen. And I will ask that you continue to keep me in prayer. As the holidays get closer, tell you, in doing this broadcast, all I'm going to say is nobody but God. Nobody but God. So as I continue to keep you in prayer, I ask that you pray for me as well. Amen. I will give you the word for the day before the speaker of the hour comes forward. Amen. It said, let your smile change the world. But don't let the world change your smile. Let your smile change the world. But don't let the world change your smile. Amen. I tell you. So at this time, as we prepare for the speaker to come forth, why don't you just go ahead and text a friend, you know, the number 347-857-3925, and hear this awesome man of God as God used him to bring forth the word. If you have a question to ask, you can just go ahead and press the 1 on your phone, and you will be live to ask Pastor Bolin your question. You may want to just tell him thank you for the word that came forth today. Thank him for allowing God to use him today. If you are not calling in live and you are listening on another device, go ahead and share the word today. Share it today and give them the number. They might be able to call in and they might want to ask that question for themselves. Amen. So prepare your hearts and prepare your mind as we bring forth the speaker of the hour, Pastor Carl Bolin.
Amen and amen. I am thankful this morning to be on air once again. I am thankful to hear Sister Diane's voice once again. Excuse me. It's allergy season, so forgive me. My sinuses are running crazy, but nevertheless, I'm going forward in the name of Jesus. I'm thankful this morning for another opportunity to share God's word. And I want to say a couple of things because the next time we'll be together will be during the Thanksgiving season. As a matter of fact, I think it'll be after Thanksgiving. And headed toward the end of the year, the enemy always wants to burden the people of God with distresses. But let me say this to you, because since the pandemic has started, and now we're in post-pandemic, but now with a recession on top of us, I want to say something to you, and I want you to hold on to this, which is changes made during crisis, though often not, are necessary in the moment. Your life may have been changed from the pandemic to now and going forward through this recession, but understand that those changes may not be permanent. Even though they don't feel good sometimes, even though it don't look good sometimes, even though we may lose some loved ones throughout the process, change is a part of our lives, and we have to make the adjustments. And throughout the Bible, nothing that God did when he took his people forward was comfortable. And I say that through experience, that when God moves you out of your comfortability, on the other side of that is him waiting for you to arrive to where he is. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about today in this series, because I started it the last time, which is the Lord our breaker. So turn with me to Micah, the 2nd chapter, verse 13, from the New International Version of the Bible. It says, the one who breaks open the way, excuse me, will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at the head. This lesson and the lesson that will be coming next month, I want to tell you now in advance, we're going to look at some scripture that we're familiar with, but we're going to deal with the strongholds that causes us from not to rise from that scripture based on what we're used to hearing. And we're going to get into that today, but I want to encourage you and remind you of one thing. God always used his people as part of the process of the miracle. Oh, my God, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but this message has been really good to me and for me, and I'm excited about it. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, come to you now, Master, thanking you for your goodness, for your mercy, thanking you that you are God, and beside you, there is no other. Whatever state your people are in this morning, who is listening to this broadcast and who will listen to this broadcast, I pray that you cause them to understand that you have already gone through before them, because you have gone through and prepared our way because you are our shepherd. Lift the spirit of heaviness from your people right now. I plead the blood of Jesus against it, and I claim it and pull down the stronghold of heaviness through the encouraging word of the living God. In Jesus' holy name, touch our souls, which is our minds, our wills, our intellects, and our emotions, that we may raise up through a time like now, that we may hold our heads high because we're your children. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So I want to continue on with this, the Lord our breaker, and jump right back into this Micah piece. Because what has blessed me through this series is exactly what Micah is saying. The Lord will break open and go up before us. Then we will break through the gates and go out. And the icing on the cake is our King has and will pass through before us. And we have to grab that right now. When we get a clear revelation of this, it should do something to your spirit. I know it's done something to mine, because this is positive evidence for us that we don't have to stay stuck in anything in life, my Lord, that wherever you are, whatever you are facing, wherever you are in life right now, you don't have to remain in that state, that whatever condition or position you find yourself in today, you don't have to remain there. Yes, we may go through a sorrowful season or a painful season, but you don't have to remain there. You don't have to stay trapped in depression and anxiety. You don't have to stay trapped in worry and fear. You don't have to stay trapped in sickness and low self-esteem. You don't have to stay trapped in addiction and lust. You don't have to stay trapped in hopelessness and in guilt. You don't have to stay trapped in failure and shame. You don't have to stay trapped in bondage, because the Lord, your breaker, will open up a way for you to go up and break out. Is there anybody ready? Is there anybody out there listening this morning ready to break out from whatever gate that's holding you back from your blessing? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I am not trapped by anything the enemy wants me to be trapped in. And so, we looked at David from 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, verse 17, from the New King James Bible, and examined how God caused him to go up and break through from the Philistines. So let's pick it up again in verse 20. 2 Samuel 5 and 20 from the New King James Bible. It reads as thus. It says, so David went to Baal-perazim, which means the Lord of the breakthrough. And David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Ah, I need you to get that right there. David said the Lord broke through for him. But what I want to point out is the actual word. It says David defeated them there. Ah. Don't let that get past you here, because David did something. David participated in his own breakthrough. I need you to catch this here, because the Lord our breaker breaks through for us, but he also does it with us. It said David defeated them. So I asked myself a question. If the Lord broke through for David, why did David have to do anything? So let's look at this story from another point of scripture. Now go to 1 Chronicles 14 and 11 from the New King James Bible. It says, so they went up to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there. Highlight that. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand. Oh, you need to highlight that. Like a breakthrough of water. There it is. There it is. David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand. Ah, lift your hand up and say, there is breakthrough in my hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need you to catch that. The Lord has broken through my enemies by my hand. I want you to grab this nugget that no matter what you're facing right now, I know you're waiting on the Lord to move, but the Lord is also waiting for you to move with him. Ah, that you may participate in your own breakthrough. And that's my first point. You must participate in your own breakthrough. Some people miss their breakthrough because they think it's automatic. And on the other side of that coin is waiting on the Lord. I wish I had dive into that. Yes, we have to wait on the Lord, but we get stuck in wait mode. And when God instructs us to move, we don't, because it doesn't make sense to us. I'm facing that right now because the last time we were together, I brought forward and asked for prayer concerning a moving forward to becoming a life coach. And you know what the Lord said to me, Sister Diane? I don't even know you to move. I've already brought it to your attention. You've already done the research that people need to have a life coach because of the pandemic, because of what's going on right now, and because of what's to come. So I have blessed you already to be in a position to be a blessing unto others. What are you going to do? So here, we see that David had to participate in his breakthrough too. So let's look at Proverbs 21 and 22 from the Passion Translation. And I want you to remember this scripture because it's going to come into play throughout the rest of this teaching and the next one. Proverbs 21 and 22 from the Passion Translation Bible. It says, the warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases regional breakthrough. I want you to catch this last sentence. Bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. Ah, you need to catch this here because it didn't say God goes up, but a mighty warrior goes up, ascends up. Releases regional breakthrough and break down strongholds. That's you and me. And now just a warrior, not just a warrior, but a warrior filled with wisdom goes up. The understanding is, if I'm connected to the Lord, I'll break up. That anointing of the breaker then comes upon me who is connected to the breaker. Then his anointing of wisdom for breakthrough is now upon me to breakthrough. Oh, my Lord. So in other words, wherever you go, you carry breakthrough. There it is. So no matter where the enemy attacks you, you carry the anointing and the wisdom of the Lord, our breaker, to fight back the enemy and breakthrough. Ah, that means wherever you show up, you carry breakthrough. Let me make it plainer. That means whenever you show up to work and there's a problem, you can ascend up with wisdom and release breakthrough. Are you with me? Wherever you go and there is chaos and commotion, you can ascend up like a warrior through the anointing and wisdom of the breaker and release breakthrough upon the circumstances. Let me make it even plainer. If there is unrest in your home, you have the ability and the connection with the Lord our God to ascend up to him, access his wisdom, access his anointing, and release breakthrough in your home and stop the unrest that has interrupted your peace in your home. Ah, that's personal for me, Sister Diane. Why is that personal, Elder Bone? Why is that personal, Pastor Bone? Because a week and a half ago, our daughter called us and she was having extreme pains in her breast. And she said she felt lumps on both sides of her breast. So we told her to go to the emergency room. And watch this. The emergency room did not want to perform a certain exam that will cause them to see it. They didn't even want to do a PET scan. So I told her to come home, call your doctor and make an emergency appointment because she has Kaiser. So she did. And they went in and they did the PET scans. and all of these scans they needed to do, and they were inconclusive. And my daughter came back to the house. And here's what I said, Sister Diane, because of this lesson, I carry breakthrough. I said, remember your dad told you this day would come, that you would have to exercise faith based on what God has done for your dad and healed him from cancer? This is not cancer. And I'm not going to let anyone speak it on you, but I'm going to speak release to you. And I laid hands on my daughter. Well, you know where this is going. She went back to the doctor, her personal doctor, and they brought in all the film, and they were mulling around trying to make a decision. And, again, he wanted it to stay with it being inconclusive. And that was not acceptable to me as it pertains to the Lord thy God, our healer. So a technician came in and said, hold on, this is not inconclusive. This is nothing but a bruise on both sides of her breast. It's not cancer. Glory to his name. I had to do something. I had the ability to access the anointing of breakthrough to God, and I did. But they were determined to make it inconclusive. When you are in an inconclusive state, you are caught in between two opinions, and you never want to be there. Don't get caught on that fence. So I tore that fence down. And the Lord expressed himself. I'm talking about that you got to grab and understand right now and here that you carry inside of you and you have the access to God and his anointing as a warrior of God. It's time out for just quoting scripture. You've got to act through the scripture. Jesus didn't ask the devil to get behind him. He commanded the devil to get behind him, and Jesus proceeded accordingly to what he knew, which he was anointed with, the power of the living God. So the scripture says here, the warrior is filled with wisdom. So when we're filled with the wisdom of the word of God, it equips us to be carriers of a breakthrough anointing. I need you to get this. Because this series is not just about you getting your personal breakthrough, but you can be used by God to bring breakthrough to others. That's what old Reverend Red just testified about. I'm talking about you moving from one dimension to another dimension because God is a dimensional God. You see, the enemy wants you to remain in a broken down state. Relationships broke down. Marriage broke down. Children broke down. Finances broke down. But the Lord operates for us to use you to not only break through for yourself, but he wants to use you to bring breakthrough to us. So now I want to move you from breakthrough to being able to release breakthrough. Ooh, my Lord, that is my spirit, man. I need to say that one again. God wants to move you from breakthrough to being able to release breakthrough, as the scripture says. You can release breakthrough. So when we talk about you participating in your own breakthrough, part of the understanding is you have to be equipped for it. Notice how Proverbs 21 and 22 is worded. A warrior filled with wisdom. So the writer is now putting us in the mind frame of a warrior. In order to have breakthrough, you have to have the mentality and the mindset of a warrior and the attitude of a warrior. So the writer here is drawing a picture for us. Somebody say warrior. As I started meditating this out, my mind went to Ephesians 6. You're familiar with it. Because in the Bible, they are warrior, wore armor in the battle. As a matter of fact, this is a very familiar scripture. But today my goal is for you to get a clearer understanding of how to use the armor of God through the wisdom and anointing of God for breakthrough. So this is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. He had given them instructions throughout this book. But notice here in verse 10 he says, in conclusion, to sum it all up. So turn to Ephesians 6 and 10. And I'll be looking at this from the Amplified Bible. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. So Paul says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. So he's getting them ready. He's getting them ready because he's about to talk to them about some strong stuff. In other words, This is the eye-to-eye conversation. But notice how it continues forward. He said, draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. So God desires to empower you and in the power of his boundless might. Wow. I don't want you to miss the two nuggets there. He said, be empowered through your union in him. So see, God wants to empower you to bring breakthrough, that you may be a participant in your own breakthrough and for others. But then he says, and in the power of his boundless might. What that means to us, my brothers and sisters, is that God's might and power is boundless, but we live in a body that is limited. So along the way, you are going to have to lean into the boundless might of God and not yours. So he makes it clear where they are to draw their strength from. But now in verse 11, he gives us instruction. Ah, good preaching and good teaching goes together. Verse 11, Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Ah, there's that warrior picture again. Ah, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully, highlight that, stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. I want you to highlight that last sentence because that's going to be prominent in our next lesson, all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil, because he put strongholds in our minds. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's going to come into play later. Verse 12, he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. So let me slow this down for a moment and hang my hat right here for a minute. Paul says, my final words to you is, you've got to be strong. So how are you going to be strong? By putting on the whole armor of God. Now, I want you to catch this here, because many miss this important point. The fact that Paul is telling them to put on the whole armor implies they didn't have it on. I need you to grab this here. Paul is talking to the church, the believers, and the followers of Christ Jesus. And he's telling saved folk to put on the armor. He tells me, just because you're saved, just because Jesus is your Savior, just because you have accepted him as your Savior, just because you come to church don't mean you're really dressed and ready to fight. So Paul says, put it on. The fact that he has to tell them to put it on lets me know that the armor is available to be put on, but it's not automatic, which is to say, God makes it available to us, but it's not automatically on us. You've got to put it on. Now watch Paul, because Paul is a master at building up church folk, and he has to tell them to put on the armor, the full armor. Because he knows how church folk are. Some people are going to put on a few pieces. He knows some people are going to put on what they feel like putting on. Are you with me? So Paul says to put on the full armor of God, because we have to know how the enemy works. Catch this here. The enemy will always attack you in the area that you are uncovered in. Because wherever you are uncovered, you are at a disadvantage. So if you're just walking around with your helmet on, the helmet of salvation, and you ain't got nothing else on, how many know that's a smorgasbord of eating for the enemy? You put everything else on but your helmet, then the enemy will attack your head all day long, because if you are uncovered, you're at a disadvantage. So Paul says, put on the full armor. Because I want you to know that you're engaged in warfare, whether you know it or not. It is. It's a warfare. Whether you believe in spiritual wickedness, whether you believe that the devil exists or not, he does. And I really need you to get this. I need that to really sink in for a moment, because some people say, I don't see the devil. I don't see evil spirits. I don't see wickedness. I don't see spiritual wickedness. I don't see darkness. So the fact that I cannot see it means it does not be present because of the way some people think in their mind. That's not so. Paul is making it clear, whether you believe it or not, it is. We are in warfare. You think it's just a coincidence you can't get ahead? You think it's just a coincidence that your peace is always challenged? You think it's just a coincidence that you lost your joy for a moment or a season? You think it's just a coincidence that sickness is always on the prowl to attack you? I need to say amen to that myself. Why? Because I was attacked by colon cancer, and that's no joke. You think it's just coincidental that you find yourself coming out of one battle only to go into battle again? Paul is saying, I need to let you know that you are fighting against something, and it's not in the physical dimension, it's in the spiritual dimension. Whether you believe it or not, it is so. So let me explain it this way. How many know you can't see the wind? But just because you can't see the wind does not mean that the wind doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, the time that you can see the wind, per se, is in the form of a hurricane or a tornado. And how many know it is too late to fight a tornado or a hurricane after it shows up? Are you with me? Because people are dealing with that in parts of Florida right now. That thing showed up, and it wreaked destruction. How many know that when you walk into a room and there's a fragrance or an aroma, how many know that you can't see or touch either one of them? What I'm trying to do is make it plain to you today, because you can't figure out why it seems you are always up against something and can't seem to break through, or why it is that you are in these cycles and patterns of failure and stress, frustration and defeat, depression. And you don't know why it is that these things keep happening from generation to generation, generational curses. And you can't explain it any other way than the fact that there is something working against you in the spirit. And here Paul says, you are not fighting against flesh and blood, but you are fighting against darkness and spiritual wickedness. You're fighting against a devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal your peace, to rob you of your joy, to bring your marriage in ruin, to bring your finances into ruin, to bring your body to sickness. But I am so grateful that even though the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the Bible says Jesus came that we might have life and have it and live it to the fullest, and that more abundantly, that Jesus Christ is the Lord our breaker against any plan of the enemy. And he is telling us through Paul that when we put on the armor of God, that positions us to be a part of our own breakthrough, that we may bring breakthrough to others. So Paul is saying, you've got to understand that you need to put on the whole armor of God, that you are in battle. So let's move down to verse 13. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God. And there it is again. Paul said to put on the complete armor of God again, so that you will be able to successfully, highlight that, resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands. This country is in a crisis, and this crisis demands for us to stand successfully and resist the crisis. To stand firm in your place, the place in Christ Jesus, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. That's some good stuff right there. Verse 14, so stand firm. He said it again. And hold your ground. I'm going to pause right there and put a pin in that, because it came up twice that we need to stand firm and hold the ground that Jesus has placed us on through his name and through his blood, no matter what. Yes, you may cry a little bit. Yes, it may hurt a little bit, but stand your ground in Christ Jesus. The scripture continued to say in verse 14, having tightened the wide belt of truth, personal integrity, moral courage, around your waist and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart. So Paul makes it clear to us, stand firm and hold your ground. It goes on to say, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage, around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart, verse 15, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Verse 16, above all, lift up the protective shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's a lot of stuff out of there. So now Paul lists for us the various items for us to put on as part of the armor. Ah, this is critical. Because if you're not geared up for where you're going, you're not going to make it. You won't make it. Ah, you've got to put on the right stuff for your breakthrough. So my second point in this teaching is time to gear up. Time to gear up. You have to be just right for the occasion. Ah, I know that should ring home to me, because when you go out somewhere, you want to be dressed right, don't you? You want to be dressed to the tilt, from the head to the toe. And my wife do. My wife will spend 2 hours in the bathroom sometimes on a Sunday, Sister Diane, getting herself ready. She want to make sure that she got the right stuff on. She want to make sure she's geared up. Ah, you've got to be dressed for the occasion. I was a basketball player, and I was very, really particular about the type of tennis shoes I wanted to wear. And if my shoes weren't right, I thought I wasn't geared up to play for the game. And my coaches knew that. So if you're going to participate in your own breakthrough, you have to have on the right stuff. You have to be geared up. So time to gear up. So Paul, who writes this letter while he's in prison, and perhaps while he was in prison, he had this view of a Roman soldier, because he had seen these Roman soldiers quite often. And perhaps while he was viewing those Roman soldiers, he began to get the revelation of what it means to be fully armed. Ah, you got to get this here. So I want you to imagine a Roman soldier for me. As a matter of fact, when you get off listening to me today, I want you to Google a Roman soldier and look at his gear. A Roman soldier was geared up for battle. And perhaps when you see it, you will obtain a full view of what it looks like to be geared up, because Paul was looking at the Roman soldier, and it was then, while in prison, God gave him the vision of the armor of God. So that picture of the Roman soldier shows you what the full armor of battle looks like. And that's why Paul said it twice. Put on the full armor of God. So let's walk through the armor. And I pray that right now, during these moments right now, that you receive what you need to do with the armor. Because I know we're used to hearing it preached, but the question is, has it really been broken down and taught to you? Well, today, my goal is to break it down and teach it to you. So let's take it. Number one, let's look at it. The belt of truth. When you look at a Roman soldier, the belt held everything up and together. For us in the spiritual realm, that's why it's called the belt of truth. The belt of truth holds all of the weapons for us in place, just as it does the Roman soldier. It was the belt of truth. And can I tell you that it's the same thing for us as we've battled the enemy? We've got to have on the belt of truth. It's the word of God. Ah, it's by truth that all the other weapons work on the armor. Let me make it plain. Our praise is a weapon of truth. Our shout is a weapon of truth. And prayer is a weapon. In other words, if you're not going to do these things according to the truth of God's word, then it is null and void, because we must operate in the truth, which is God's word, because God honors truth. John 8:32 said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Some translations say make you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you've got to have on the belt of truth, not what you think truth is, but what you know the truth to be through the word of God. I wish I had time to dive into it. But let me say it this way. We have to have the right type of thinking toward God's word that we may produce the right type of results from truth and obtain truth based on the results of the truth of the word. Ooh, I know that was a lot. But oh my God, I thank God for giving me that understanding. So that's the belt of truth. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of the armor covered the vital areas of the body, the heart, the lungs. If you're going to get ready for breakthrough, you've got to cover your vital organs, that your lungs are covered so you can keep the breath of God inside of you, and that your heart is covered. Can I tell you that some people don't guard their hearts enough? And the danger of that is when your heart is left uncovered, it is easy access to be broken, to be wounded. No wonder it says in Proverbs, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Sad time to break that down more. But how many of us know or have experienced the results of walking into a relationship with your heart wide open with false expectations? And you wonder why your heart got broken. Why? Because you went into the relationship with it wide open based on false expectation. That's why the belt of truth is so important. So now you've got to have your heart covered, your lungs covered through the breastplate of righteousness. So the next thing you need to do is that you need to get your feet strapped. Your feet strapped. When you further examine a Roman soldier's feet, they wore a shoe that looked like sandals with cleats on the bottom. I want you to grab that, with cleats on the bottom. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's what Paul said. When you have your feet prepared with the right stuff, it will anchor you, oh my Lord. Those cleats would keep the soldiers from swaying and kept them from being knocked off center during battle, or in our case, those things in life that can knock you off center. That's a personal one for me, Sister Diane, that when they told me I had cancer, the whole goal of the enemy was to get me off center from the promises of the living God. But my feet were strapped, and God had anchored me. The gospel, the good news, that Jesus is the Lord our breaker. The good news that Jesus will go up with us into battle, the battle of life, that we can become more than conquerors in and through Christ Jesus because he loves us. So our feet strapped, prepared with the gospel of Jesus Christ, keeps us according or anchored in life. You got to grab that. You got to grab that. That the gospel of Jesus Christ keeps us anchored even when the storms show up. Number four, the shield of faith. Many times, the soldier's shield would be covered in leather. And what they would do is they would submerge or bathe the shield of leather in water. Now, this is the information I found out when I looked up the parts of the Roman soldier's armor and what they did with it. Notice what Paul said about what the shield would do. It would quench the fiery darts of the devil. That when the arrows of fire would be shot at the soldier, because his shield had been bathed in water, it would distinguish or extinguish the flame of the arrow. Our shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the enemy, just like the shield of the Roman soldier, because it was made in leather, dipped in water, How many know when you get leather wet, it stays wet? Huh. So that shield was drenched in water, covered in leather, and when that arrow hit it, they knew that fire would eventually go out. So you've got to have the shield of faith. Number five, the helmet of salvation, the helmet. How many know that if you ride a motorcycle with no helmet and crash, you will probably have brain damage? And when you have brain damage, every other activity of the body is now damaged. Salvation is more than just coming to Christ. But salvation also means continual deliverance. And when your spiritual mind loses hold of that fact, you give in. You give up. You give up hope. Because we have to always be delivered from the toxic thoughts the enemy tries to get us to hold on to. Because toxic thoughts cause the mind to deteriorate. Ah, stress. So the helmet of salvation protects us. It protects our minds and delivers us from the effect of toxic thinking. Because toxic thinking creates toxic action. The helmet of salvation gives us time to renew our mind. In other words, you need to disengage from time. I tell my wife, know me, Sister Diane, every 2 or 3 months, I disengage from everything and everybody. I'll take a weekend and just disengage. But what I do before I disengage is make sure everybody is okay. And I will tell everybody, my phone's going to be off. I'm not going to be reachable for the next 2 or 3 days. Why? Because I need time to allow my mind to be renewed. You go to work every day. You fight traffic every day. You come home and you're in a continual fight of life against these principalities. And every now and then, you need to disengage. Now, I want to say this by permission and with understanding. Sometimes you need to disengage from church folk. I'm going to let that one sink in. When God blessed me with that revelation, Sister Diane, I begin to get more rest in my life. And what I'm saying to you is, it's okay to miss church every now and then because you need to disengage. You need to be to get yourself alone by yourself so there's nobody but you and God. You ain't getting this one's advice. You ain't getting that one's advice. And I know the Bible says that there's safety and security and wise counsel. But guess what? Nobody on the planet, and I want to say this with all sincerity, but yet with understanding. Thank God for the fivefold ministry. I'm part of the fivefold ministry. But every now and then, you need to get by yourself and talk to the living God, to engage God to the eternal Godhead, of him being God the Father, of him being God the Son, and of him being God the Holy Spirit. How do you know that, Elder Bowen? How do you know that, Pastor Bowen? Because before I went back for my surgery, Sister Diane, I want everybody to hear this. Nobody, God suffered it to be so that nobody had a chance to see me that morning. There was a massive traffic jam in the area of the hospital like never before. Isn't that something? Who do you think caused that? And I was in that room by myself, and I turned my face to the wall and said, really, Lord? This is how I'm going out? And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Father wanted you in this position. No, he didn't give you cancer because he don't send sickness. But he wanted you here that you would know that this was between you and him. Yes, the word says that we can lay hands on the sick, but I love you so much, I want to do this one personally. Ooh, my Lord, my God, that you will never forget that I am God the Father, that I am God the Son, and that I am God the Holy Spirit who heals you. Don't let nobody never get in between me and you again. Ooh, my Lord, my God. And that was 2005. And since then, I've instituted that getaway thing that every now and then I disengage from everybody so I can hear from the eternal God. I love my pastor. I've loved all my pastors. But every now and then, you need that one-on-one time with God. So number six, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's interesting that most of the armor is designed for defensive purposes. But there is only one weapon for the offensive, the sword of Spirit, the Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God shall remain. My Word shall remain. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts even unto the marrow of the bone and spirit. You, when you begin to say what the Word says rather than what they say, only then you will begin to see the results of the spoken Word of God in your life. I wish I had time to get into that one, because we have logos, the written Word of God, but then we have rhema, the spoken Word of God, and God has left that up to us. The Bible has been written, and it is for our admonishment to live through and to live by. But when we speak the spoken Word of God, the result of that word is totally up to God. My Lord, my God, there it is. When we speak the correct Word of God through right thinking and right understanding of the Word of God, it is then and only then will our circumstances begin to change. Why? Because God is the author and finisher of our faith as it pertains to his word, because it is his word. I say again, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, the word of God, shall remain. Sword of the Spirit. It's important. You and I have a rhema word inside of us. That's what sets us up to partake in our own breakthrough. That's what sets us up to release breakthrough, and not just breakthrough, regional breakthrough. I go back to Proverbs 21 and 22 from the Passion Translation. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high places and releases regional breakthrough. How? Bringing down the strongholds of the mighty. Whew, my Lord, my God. The warrior needs a suit of armor to go into battle. Just as you get out of bed every day, you put on your clothing of armor for that day, and it's not automatic. So just as it is in the natural, so it is in the spirit. Paul said it a couple of times in that Ephesians piece. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. If you're going to participate in your own breakthrough, then you have to put on the whole armor of God, because it's not automatic. The enemy wants to lull you into a false sense of security by thinking that the armor of God is automatic, and it is not. So when you connect this, when you connect these scriptures from Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, and Proverbs 21 and 22, it gives us the understanding that the releasing of breakthrough is connected to the concept of breaking down strongholds. Are you with me? And I want to give you a rather simple thought about that. And then I'm going to walk that down for the remaining few minutes that I have. Strongholds. We all have to deal with them. And they are a part of everybody's life. And here's the thought. What's standing between you and your next breakthrough is a stronghold. God wants to use you as part of your own breakthrough. But part of that package is we have to deal with the strongholds that we deal with in life. The stronghold that may be holding you back that you don't know is a stronghold, because it's standing between you and your next breakthrough. So I want to work on that idea for a minute. Notice when I read Ephesians 6 and 11, it says that we need to be aware of the schemes, the strategies, and the deceit of the devil. So that's the understanding here. that we understand that we have an adversary that works against us. And he does that by way of schemes, strategies, and deceit. I told you to highlight that. And one of the schemes, the scheme of deceit, is that some people have been deceived into thinking that we don't have an adversary who is against us. How? Isn't that something? I made the analogy of you can go into a room and smell an aroma, but you don't see it. And some people believe that if they can't see the enemy, that he doesn't exist. But I would challenge that thought, because there are many things that you can't feel, see, or touch that exist. Am I right about it? As a matter of fact, one of the illustrations I really love to give that I thought about earlier is that the fact that you're sitting in a chair right now is proof positive evidence that you exist in a realm that has gravity. How many know that if you were not in, that if we didn't have gravity right now on the earth, we'd be floating around. So the fact that we can't see gravity does not mean, and catch this here, it negates the fact that gravity exists. So just because you can't see the enemy operating behind the scenes in the spirit realm don't mean that he's not doing it. Why? Because he works through the strategies and deceit. And one of the things Paul said with that was, we should not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So if you want to participate and be a part of your own breakthrough, as God desires for us to be a part of our own breakthrough, we cannot be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So I want to work on this, because it shows up in the form of strongholds. Because strongholds begins with a thought, with what you think. Going back to Proverbs again, Proverbs 21 and 22. A warrior filled with wisdom ascends into the high place and releases regional breakthrough. I want you to grab that. God wants to use us, you and me, to ascend into the high places of him, and that we may bring not just release breakthrough, but regional breakthrough. My Lord, my God. I'm going to confess this right now, because it just jumped in my spirit, Sister Diane, that through being a life coach, God is going to use me to release regional breakthrough for people, because the organization that I'm getting my training through is international. Ah, does that ring a bell? Go ye into all the world. So God is about to put me on the stage, Sister Diane, to release not only local breakthrough, but regional breakthrough. And that's our God in action. Ah, bringing down strongholds. God is working on my strongholds. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't have any. I'm working on them, because I want to bring regional breakthrough. And I want to work on this, because strongholds exist externally, and they exist internally. And sometimes when we think about breakthrough, what we usually think is we have to fight something externally. Ah, but many times the battle is internally, because the Lord wants to use us as part of our own breakthrough. Now the battle is boiled down to us. I'm going to leave that external one alone for a minute, because we're always quick to say, the devil, the devil, the devil. But what's stirring around in your mind? Ah, let's get into it. Such as a man thinks, so is he. So the seed of the enemy is to get you to not only focus on externally, but the Lord wants us to look at things internally. And that's what we need to really do, that the seed and the birthing of your breakthrough is not something externally, it's internally. And I need you to get this, because part of the enemy's scheme, strategy, and deceit is to erect strongholds in your mind. And most times you don't even realize it, but standing there between you and your next breakthrough, you being used as part of your own breakthrough is a stronghold anchored in your thought process. So when we talk about strongholds, it is the understanding now that they exist externally and internally. Notice the way Paul begins to give us this word picture of schemes, strategies, and deceits of the enemy by using the phrase stronghold. So now I'm going to walk you through the picture of a stronghold from the Bible days. Now we're going to walk through the picture of a Roman soldier. Now the next picture I want you to Google is a fortress. Remember what a fortress looked like? Let me remind you, the walls of Jericho. It was a castle, a fortress built brick by brick, fortified brick by brick. A fortress had a kind of immovable appearance to it. You're just not going to walk up on a fortress and knock it down. So notice the word picture Paul gives us. He says, we've got to pull down strongholds. Strongholds meaning not just external strongholds, but internal strongholds too. How? So connect the picture of a fortress and now connect it with the understanding that there are strongholds in your mind just like a fortress that have been planted as a scheme by the enemy. Ah, I've seen it. Felt it over my years of teaching the word of God, that folk were not comfortable hearing a fresh word from God because they had a mental stronghold in their minds against a word they were not used to hearing. Ah, I'm going to make you think. In other words, we ain't used to hearing it that way. Does that ring a bell? Internal strongholds. Are you with me? Let me explain it this way. Most people are comfortable, and it's scripture, with the thought of being a sinner saved by grace. I've said that many times. But when they hear someone who also understands that the scripture also says, I have now become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, they struggle with it. Why? Because they got that sin thing burnt into their mind, and they don't think that they can gravitate from living a sin life to living in the righteousness of God. Why? Because they're too sin conscious. That's why. They're so worried about every little sin and every little thing they might do wrong that they cannot progress forward into right thinking that now because of Christ Jesus, you have become the righteousness of God. Why? Because it's planted in their thought process not to see themselves that way. Are you with me? That's a stronghold. So strongholds are built brick by brick. So each brick represents a symbol of a stronghold that is built upon precept brick by brick. So before I begin breaking this down, let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 from the Amplified Bible. For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men, we are not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh and using the weapons of man. So here you see the two realities. The fleshly realm and the spiritual realm. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Highlight that. Because there it is, stronghold. Verse 5, we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. There's the mind fight right there because we battle sophisticated arguments and things that are exalted against the word of God. There's so many nuggets in there. But notice he gives us a word picture of a fortress or a stronghold, and then he begins to describe it. Notice the words he uses here from the Amplified Bible. He said the strongholds are sophisticated arguments. He says they are exalted and proud things. And then he says they are set against in opposition to the truth of God. Oh, you've got to catch this here. So let's see how this comes into play for us. So remember now that I said we have this stronghold that is built brick by brick. Now picture this as it pertains to your mind. The first thought or the first brick of your thought process is that thought. So the first brick of a stronghold in your mind is a thought. When the enemy wants to build a stronghold from the inside of you, he introduces it or suggests it as a thought. And that thought becomes the second brick of belief. So the second brick is a belief. And once you embrace that thought, hold that thought, it then becomes a belief. And you and I both know that thoughts come and go all the time, whether you're saved or not, whether you know Christ or not. But it's the thoughts that you hold on to that begin to affect your life and stop you from participating in your own breakthrough. Look at it this way. A bird can come and land on your head, But if he makes a mess on your head, that's a whole nother thing. Are you with me? So a thought can come, but if you embrace it, it becomes a belief. And belief then becomes a behavior, which is the next brick of a stronghold. So your behavior becomes exemplified in the way of being or how you act, because thoughts and belief are carried out through our actions. Are you with me? Then our behavior leads to the next brick, a habit. Behaviors that you continue to do over and over again become a habit. And we both have them. We both have good and bad habits. And as we continue to live this way, a behavior therapist will call this a habitual habit. So catch this here. As I prepare to close, because my time is out. We have now moved from thought to belief, from belief to behavior, and from behavior to habit. Remember how a fortress is built? Brick by brick. Strongholds in our minds are built brick by brick. So now when you put all of this together, it becomes a lifestyle. My Lord and my God, it becomes a lifestyle. I don't have time to continually to go through it, but we'll pick it up in the next portion of this as we go forward through this. But the Lord desires to use us as part of our own breakthrough. And it's then that when he uses us as a part of our own breakthrough, as being a warrior, we then come to understand that when we examine ourselves, my Lord, my God, and be honest with ourselves, we then come to understand that when we work on the strongholds in our lives, it causes us to rise up into the wisdom of God and ascend into the Most High, into his thought process. Lord, have mercy. And we bring back release to others. As I close, we quote Romans 12 and 2 all the time. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ah, there it is. There it is. Back to those thoughts thing. Your thoughts become beliefs. Those beliefs become your behaviors. Your behaviors become your habits. And those habits create a lifestyle for you. And it is then when we deconstruct the pattern of our lifestyle in reverse, identify the habits which cause the behavior, identify the behavior which sprung out from a belief, and identify the root thought which was introduced to you that began it all, then you can allow your mind to be transformed, because Christianity is about transformation. Woo! Not behavior modification, but transformation of our nature. So we talked about the armor of God. We've heard it preached all our church life about putting on the armor of God. But today we broke down the operation of that armor. Ooh. And then we proceeded to understand and break down strongholds. Philippians 2 and 5 through 8 explains it best with my last words from the New Living Translation. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. So Jesus didn't have an advantage. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. In other words, what that means to us is Jesus just gave us the example. When he was in the form of a man, he didn't think of himself equal to God. He humbled himself and became obedient to God. And what that means for us is he allowed God to transform his way of thinking in the form of a man, because he had to deal with it, of thinking as a man, and allow God to transform his thinking as a man into the thinking of a man of the kingdom of God and become a kingdom of God thinking man by giving up his will as a man and became obedient to the will of God as a man. The Lord our breaker has given us the tools to be a part of our own breakthrough so that we can ascend up into the high places in him and bring back regional relief and breakthrough to others. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. Look this up on YouTube. Follow me on YouTube at Win at Life, because this is a 4 or 5 part teaching here, and I want you to be able to grab it at your leisure and be able to break this all down at your leisure so you can comprehend it, and it sinks into your spirit that most of all you live it. And when you live it, it's only then will it affect others' lives. Into the hands of Sister Diane.
Amen, amen, amen. We just thank God for that awesome word coming forth from Pastor Bolin. Lord, as we hold Pastor Bolin before you, we thank you for the word that you allow him to bring forth this day, Lord. We thank you for the breakthrough, Lord, Father, that is happening in our lives this day, Lord. So, Father, keep that hedge round about him, Lord, Father, and we cancel every and any assignment, Lord, Father, that would try to come against him or the word that came forth, and we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, for your blood covering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Elder Bolin, as you keep talking, breakthrough, breakthrough, a couple of days ago, that was the word that came to me, was breakthrough. A picture, a movie that I went to see a couple of years back, that was the name of it, breakthrough. And when you say that we need to participate in our breakthrough, it was like the person had to break through the ice. They fell through the ice, and when the young man fell through in the ice, and they had to get in the water and search for that body. And it's so important that we be listening to the voice of God and know that it is the voice of God. Because you know what? That still small voice is the voice that's going to help you go through that breakthrough. And the fact that, the rescue worker that was searching for the boy that fell in the water, he heard the voice tell him to go back to where he was. And when he listened to the word, then he found the young man that fell through the ice. So I'm saying that to say this. If you listen to the still small voice, that word coming from God, you will receive your breakthrough. So I thank you for the word that come forth bless out you. Of you on here. See, I was fine sitting here as I prepared for the broadcast and everything. It was like I felt so overwhelmed with the loss of Apostle. But I know I had to press through to continue the broadcast. So I thank you. And I just want you to give the listeners your information. If they're in your area, you go ahead and give your information to everyone at this time.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Diane. God bless you. I always pray the prayer, Sister Diane, and I want every listener to hear this. My prayer is that I effectively teach this word of God that it may affect your life. I'm not in this just for me. I understand that this gift of teaching does not belong to me. So having said that, the name of our church is Win at Life Ministry, and we are located at 321 Southwest Street, Charlestown, West Virginia, 25414. You can also email us at winatlifeministry@gmail.com. We hold service on 1st, 3rd, and 5th Sunday. As a matter of fact, we'll be communing on Sunday, and I'll be delivering a word. And I just thank God that he has positioned us And also I want to say that he's opened a door for us up in West Virginia through just meeting people. And now they're going to bring us into this council that helps decide things. And I thank God because we're the new kid on the block. We probably have 20 members, 15. And God has already opened that door for us to be a major part of the decision-making process as it pertains to the churches in the area. And there's some churches up there that have been there for 50, 60, 70 years. And yet, because someone visited us and saw me on Facebook doing a teaching, they took it to the people. Isn't that something? So I thank God, and I encourage you to look us up on Facebook and YouTube, especially YouTube, because you can grab my messages from YouTube and play them over at your heart's content. God bless you.
Amen, amen. So again, we thank each and every listener that continues to support this Blog Talk Radio. We thank you, and we greatly appreciate you. We take you all not for granted. We thank the other nations that continually listen, and we even have some islands also that showed up on the grid that is hearing this broadcast. So we just thank each and every speaker that continually comes on and allow God to use them. If you have missed this broadcast from the beginning, you can visit our Facebook page, Logion International Ministries, City of Victory, and go ahead and click on that link. You can hear the message from the beginning. Don't just hear the message. Go ahead and share it as well. What do you want to share it on your page? Or you want to share it via Messenger or just copy the link and send it to a friend? Go ahead. Don't keep the word to yourself. And if you have not liked or follow our page, go ahead and hit like and follow, and you will know each and every time that we post or go live. So join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you all know what Thursdays are. You will hear the word of the late Apostle Porter. You would hear it from the late Pastor Sharon. And you will hear Bishop Porter as well. So know that the word is the word as it comes forth and is always a right now word. Till then, be blessed.
Worrying how the story is,
I can let go.
I alone and let God, let go, let God. Oh, let go and let God, let go and let God. My brother, let go and let God. My sister, you can't handle it. Let God.